you share some of the concerns that the human rights community have raised with this particular app. What are those concerns?
Well, I think any app that potentially records health data and location data has implications for our human rights. But I think one of the big questions around the app is what the legal basis for the app is. So when governments take actions that may interfere with our rights, those actions have to be done on a legal basis, which means it has to be very clear what the purpose is, what the justification is for whatever steps they're taking, whether or not what they're doing is necessary and proportionate to meet those aims. The most obvious right affected by this kind of app is the right to private life. And that is implied both in the way our data can be used and the way that we live our lives can be understood through the data. But also, the app may well have impacts on our ability, for example, to go to work or to leave our homes, depending on how the app is used in the future.
A lot of what we've seen from particularly in human rights lawyers and experts is the idea of a centralised system that this app is currently using for trials in the Isle of Wight. What is it about this system that is different from the model that other countries have been using?
Well, the decentralised model, which is one of the things that many other countries are opting for, including countries like Ireland, means that the information is passing between phones. So effectively, if I have the app and I have tested positive for COVID-19 and I've been close to you and you have the app, then my phone will tell your phone that you've been in close contact with somebody who's tested positive for COVID-19. It won't tell you who it was, and that information won't go into a centralised pot for analysis. If you have a centralised system, that means that this information, the information that you and I have been in contact with each other, in close contact with each other, would then go into a centralised system for analysis. And I think one of the confusions around the NHS app and the way it's been developed is exactly what it's for. So the decentralized system works, if you like, to alert you that you've been in contact with me and therefore you ought to go and get testing, or you ought to isolate yourself for a period of 14 days to check that you have not caught the virus. And so that is about tracing contacts in order to prevent the spread of the virus. Whereas with a centralised system, it's about the data coming in so that the government can effectively monitor the way the virus is spreading through the community, and then potentially use that information to decide where it puts resources in order to meet COVID-19 hotspots. But those are very different purposes for an app. And I think one of the questions is whether or not having one app doing all those things is the right way to go in terms of both effectiveness and proportionality.
So are your concerns more about the tracing in and of itself, or is it this centralised system?
Well, I think contact tracing in and of itself, in whatever form it is a tried and tested means of stopping the spread of contagious diseases. So if you have contact tracing, for example, at the start of the outbreak, where we did have a degree of contact tracing with people who tested positive, would then be asked who they'd been in close contact with so that those people could be contacted and put into quarantine. But that kind of contact tracing relies on effective testing. And so to be doing tracing based on vague self-reporting symptoms means that you can have a very large number of false positives in the system, which can really undermine trust and effectiveness of the system. So I think one of the fundamental questions, before you even get into the question of centralized or decentralized systems or the technical aspects of the systems, is what exactly is it designed to do, and will it work? And whether or not it will work depends very much on the context. And so contact tracing apps or contact tracing systems require A, enough people in the community to be subscribing to them for it to be a meaningful number of people whose phones would be communicating with each other. But it also requires adequate testing. Because if you don't have the testing, what you could land up with is pockets or areas where people are getting huge amounts of false positives, and that area then closes down. And if you think about it in practical terms, the kinds of people who are most likely to be in contact with people who are reporting symptoms and or have tested positive are going to be people who are out in the community, in particular key workers. You know, the right to private life can be limited in order to protect health. So there's no question that you can put limitations on privacy in order to protect health. And clearly in a situation like this, this would be a situation where you could put limitations on privacy. The question is what those limitations are. So the first thing that the government needs to demonstrate is that whatever it's proposing and the details of whatever it's proposing in the context that we are now in will effectively protect health. Because if it won't effectively protect health, then there's no justification for limiting privacy.